You might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John in chapter 4. Our Father and God, we look to you. Here's your word. Here we are. Ah, Spirit of God, thank you. Help us. And we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Book of 1 John, you want to go to chapter 1 for a moment. And 1 John is about having a unique, wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And we're to enjoy a unique fellowship, communion, a oneness with God. So when you come to chapter 1 and verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we talk of fellowship, it always includes God. You can't have fellowship without God. It's because of God that we can have fellowship, that we can even know him, that we can even open our mouth and say thank you. So, that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. And verse 4, we're supposed to enjoy that your joy may be full, that you might enjoy, you might rejoice, you might be so happy, as it were, that you could know him. God is happy to have himself known, and we are to be happy to know him in a most wonderful way. In such a world, where is God? Hang on. Where is God? We don't. Hang on. Now, a little more. Over in chapter 1, and we're to go and walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we're able to go. And we understand our old nature. We understand sin a little bit. We understand darkness. We understand unbelief. We do. And verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we need to be very, very, very realistic and objective and look so that we can be truly subjective. Now, And verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we need to be real. And then you have to be real in them to see the darkness, to see ourselves as it were, just plain old humans without God. And we need to know God. And we receive God as our Savior. And we still have an old nature. And the old nature, all too often, is the part that is seen and not the new nature. We have a relationship to God, and we ought to show that relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way so that the world can see. The world can see what? That God's able to save a whosoever's like us guys. God's able to save us in a most wonderful way. And we're very, very realistic. So we aren't kidding ourselves and playing some word game or something. We realize who we are. We need to be saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God has to help us to enjoy in the darkness, to be able to enjoy being in the light, to be able to enjoy our wonderful relationship to God. And that's awesome. everything, Christ. We've been doing that in 1 John. The Lord Jesus Christ, that he's God. God in the heart. God in the heart. Yeah. Now, putting that in front of us, now back over to chapter 4. Well, chapter 3, to pick up the thought, to go there. John chapter 3, verse 24. 3 and 24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, abiding, the word dwell, to abide, like the vine and the branch. Keepeth his commandments, dwelleth in him, and he, God, in the believing heart. And thereby, because of that unique oneness, that unique relationship, the vine and the branch, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Hereby we know. What are we knowing? This isn't the word know. This is the word know like going to school. First thing, learning, grade, third grade, fourth grade. You're continually learning. That's the word we're looking at 3 times. Now, and in the process, hereby we know, and we are knowing, and we keep knowing. Every day, every week, every year, we're learning a little more, hopefully, whereby we know that he abideth in us. The relationship has to be developed. When you were a little baby, you had to come out, you had to be a little baby, and in the process, you had to develop a relationship to your guardian, to your parents. You had to develop that. You didn't have that. You learned. You learned by just being living, having your diapers changed. You learned. And we call the people that were taking care of us mother and father. And we do that. We learned. And then we learned they're our only mother and father, earthly. There is no other father or mother, earthly. They're our mother and father. And they're unique. And they're unique for us because we are out of them. God in Adam. When Adam sinned, that passed on to all of us. And God created all of us. We create physically, man and a woman create the body. God makes the person. We don't make persons. I would think that would be silly. We don't make persons. God makes persons, not people. No. No, we just have a body like our Lord, Hebrews 10. A body thou hast prepared for me. A body. A body. God makes persons. You are made special, not from your mother and father. You're special because God made you to be, enjoy his wonderful person in a very personal way, to enjoy God as God. And thus, my little thought again out in front of me. Where is God? Hang on. Now, so therefore, and the Spirit of God makes that known. So we slide down to chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby we know, same word, ye, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Christ, Jesus Christ, God. God, Christ, God in Christ died on the cross. Now, hereby we know. And therefore we go to verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth, there's your word again, to know. We're knowing. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The Spirit of God is going to go and help us in every way to learn, to grow, and to know. That's what he's going to do. It's a unique, wonderful relationship to God. Now, having said that, therefore, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. As God. God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have life by means of him. And verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God. No, you didn't love God. You didn't love God. God loves you. God loves us humans. We didn't do it. Well, none of it's of our doing. We had no sense of the possibility of knowing him until God helps us understand. Romans chapter 1, we're created in his image and likeness, and God makes himself known. Romans 1, 18, etc., 19, 20, 21. God said, I made myself personally known to every little boy or girl ever born on planet Earth. Now, what are they going to do with what I know? I didn't leave it up to the mother. I didn't leave it up to the father. I didn't leave it up to the family. I didn't leave it up to the culture. I myself did it, said God. So that they are without excuse. They are without excuse. There's no one that excuses themselves from God, because God made himself known in a most wonderful, wonderful way to every human being. And it doesn't take very long for us humans to forget God. We're going to look at that, to forget God. Now, so in the process, verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that reason he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, a satisfaction for our sins. Now remember, turn the page a sec, go back over to chapter 2, remember. And in chapter 2 of our Lord, what did he do for us? He is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Christ died for the whole world. There's no way around it. There's no way that Christ could die for Adam's sin without paying for my sin. You understand that? Just can't be done. All that different things. Can't be. Now, so therefore, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, having said that, so therefore we go to verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, that's the emphasis. And we're going to try to understand better, if I can, to understand better why. Why is it up to us? Why us? Why can't they look, Romans chapter 1, 19, 20, 21, why can't they look at the birds, the flowers, the bugs, the bees, and recognize one body so unique? Why can't they just look at the world around them and recognize that all just didn't happen? And all the different bugs and all the different flowers and all the different everything. There's no way. Boy, God said, listen, it all tells, everything tells you that I am an awesome God and I have awesome power. And you want to pay attention to God. Where did the flowers come from? Where did you come from? Where did I come from? Ask yourself. And so good. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to know me. in a most wonderful way. Now here we are looking at our day, having said that. And therefore, if we can, in verse 11 again, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. By this, hang on now. So in order to do that, verse 11, two different directions here. Chapter 4 and verse 11. Beloved, if, first class condition, in the word since, because it's true. Beloved, if, and it is true, God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We ought to do it. That's the whole point. God, what are you doing? I'm trying to help the world understand that they can be saved. Now, hang on to that thought in your head, and now let's try it a different way. Over, if you would please, over in your Bible, over to the Gospel of John and chapter 5. And what we're trying to look at and understand, if God, and he is, God, G-O-D, and the awesomeness that goes with the word God. We aren't talking about Zeus or Mercury or anyone. We're talking about God. God. And that blows our mind away. And we shared it with you. I shared just a reminder. All the heavens declare the glory of God. And Isaiah and et cetera, Jeremiah. And the heavens, here they are. And they say whatever. It doesn't make any difference anyway. 10 trillion to 100 trillion galaxies. I didn't say billion. I said trillion. 10 trillion to 100 trillion. I didn't say stars either. Galaxies. Now, just that's what the, it's a statement that's made by the people trying to figure it out, doing what they do. Now, having said that, and all of that beyond, here's Earth, and here's our world, here's our space. Little space, the span, heaven, the span of heaven, span, from your little middle finger to your thumb, span. All of those trillions of stars are in there. And all of those trillions of stars are in the middle of God. That's big. How big is God then? How big is God? If that's in the middle of God, think it's big? Can you even conceive what big means? Can you even conceive what G-O-D means to us humans? I'm going to get it. I may not get it today, but I'm on it. Boy, hang on. I'll have to get better. You get the idea. Now, so, here's John chapter 5. And if I can, verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You have never seen God. No one's ever seen God, period. Understandably. Now, so hang on. So, no one. Over to chapter 6. Chapter 6. And if I can, verse 46. And you'll note, not, our Lord again, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, God the Son. He has seen the Father. No one has seen the Father, No one. No one. Now, so therefore, keeping that in mind, and you know, over to 1 Timothy, sum it up in a wonderful, wonderful way, 1 Timothy, and say it in a wonderful way to say it. 1 Timothy. We can? 1 Timothy chapter 1, if I may, in verse 17. Now unto the king. I'm going to read verse 16 for the background. Howbeit, for this cause, said Paul, I obtain mercy, that in me, first, Jesus Christ might show forth all his longsuffering for a pattern, an example to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life. God was so patient with me. I was running around hunting and killing Christians and putting them in jail. And God was merciful to me. And if God's merciful, he has to be merciful to us. What do you mean, God? Verse 17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God's awesome, invisible person. And remember, Moses believed God, Hebrews 11, etc. How did Moses ever get through 40 years as an Egyptian at the top of the pile, as a king, as potentially could be Pharaoh? And then 40 years in the wilderness to get it all out of his system. And then 40 years in the wilderness to put it to work. How does all that happen? Well, he had a sense of God. Seeing, he endured God, who he couldn't see. He saw the burning bush. See God. He saw the Mount Sinai with a voice and the fire. But you didn't see God. No. No. I asked God to show me his glory. Because I knew he was so great. I knew it. But he wouldn't do it. Exodus 33. He wouldn't do it. No, he said, you can't. No man can see me. No man can see me. But I'll show you my glory. And in order for you to survive that, I'm going to put you in a little cave over here, up in the mountain. I'm going to put my hand in front of you so you can't see. And I'm going to pass by. I'm going to go past. You won't see it. I'm going to take my hand away, and you'll see the afterglow. Because you can't see me. You can't see me. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, and so how are we going to do it then? Over to the Gospel of John then. You know all these things. I'm just putting it together for you to see it in a whole nother way. John, and John, if I can, the Gospel of John, picking up, please, in thought, chapter 1. And you know, what did the Word God? I'll read verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now that's God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, what did you do, God? Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, where are you going to show that glory? You're going to show that glory in a human being. Why did you pick human beings? Because that was the purpose of Adam and Eve being born in the first place, that they would produce all the humans, and all the humans would enjoy God in such a way that you couldn't see God. No, but you'll see them. You'll see them. You'll see them. You'll see me in them. I'm going to be their God, like we shared in Sunday school. I'm going to be their God, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, I'm going to be it. And they're going to, and that's their job. That's their assignment, to do that wonderful thing. And all they have to do to bring God in Christ, died on the cross, to make it possible for the relationship. Now, having the relationship, now what? Now what? How am I going to get God, you're awesome. You became flesh, died on the cross. What for? So that us humans could be able to what? John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the privilege to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So what did he do? You put on flesh and blood in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So that what? You're going to show yourself in a human being. Can't we see you? No. No. But I'm going to show myself, though. I'm going to show myself to you in a human being, because I made your humanness. I made you humans to be able to show my marvelous person, to glorify myself. And so therefore in doing that, and Adam and Eve sinned, and the light went out, and the body, soul, spirit, and there with the spirit, you know, all these things, and the antelopes don't have spirits, and the teddy bears, and the bunnies and anything else, they don't have spirit. Animals don't have spirits. You do. Why do you have a spirit? You're different than all other souls, creatures. You're a person. God is spirit. And they that, I wonder what that says. Right in John chapter 4. And you will notice, here's the woman at the well, etc. Verse 22. Verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall eat neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. No, it's way past that. Ye worship, you know not what. What? You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers of God shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is Spirit, and they that worship him, M-U-S-T, must, no other way. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why you don't find the kangaroos having a worship service. That's why no one does it. Why not? And if I leave God out, I want to get ahead of myself. Now, so therefore, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God put a spirit in us. And we know, remember that we see at the light bulb, everyone's born with a body and a soul to live in, a body for your soul to live in, and your soul houses the spirit. But the spirit is lifeless. The spirit is the light bulb that makes you different than the bunny and then the dog. It makes you different. You're made to know God. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. He made you different to know him. All the rest come and go, but you don't. You are made to know him in a most remarkable way and to honor him, his awesomeness, God. Yeah. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so therefore, in the light of all of that, God, you're going to go, and God, we're going to look to you, and therefore, you have flesh. so that we could see, Hebrews 10, etc., a body that was prepared for me. So we put, here you are, God, like a person in your wonderful way, to know you. Yep, to know you. I can reach out, the disciples and people, and the woman at the well could give him a drink. To give God a drink. That's what they could do. How do you give God a drink apart from Christ? You don't give God a drink. You can't give God a drink, you see. You have to have humans. That's why the emphasis, the point, what's the God driving home the point? Don't you understand that when I save you, you're the only evidence that the world is going to see that I'm God in this age of unbelief? Do you understand that? They crucified me, God, in the flesh. They made me flesh and blood, God. Can you imagine that? Hang on, that's a whole another ball game. Wow. Now, and I let it happen. Where's God? He's all beaten and battered and bloody, going to the cross. Where's God? Ah, God, the mystery, the awesomeness of what you're doing. So we don't find, because God, hang on. Now, so therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, God's going to go and do what he does as only he can. Chapter 14. And in chapter 14, picking up our Lord. Remember now, the disciples have been with him for 3 1/3 years. He's been up and down the land of Palestine for 3 1/3 years. Here he is on planet Earth. Now, having said that, being on planet Earth, and they've been with him. What was missing? What did they miss? What was the problem? Hang on. John chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. You're looking at him. I am the truth. You're looking at it. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, and from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. They haven't got it. They didn't even catch on. They didn't catch on. No, he's going to say it straight out to them. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, oh boy. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And now sayest thou then, Show us the Father. I am the Father. I am the Father. The only way you could ever see God. I am in front of you, just like you, so you can relate to me. How do I relate to infinity? How do I do? Oh, by Christ. To know him. What is 1 John pressing for? To understand a unique, awesome relationship to God. We're in the presence of God right now. You can't smell, touch, taste, see. You can do whatever you want. And you can do it. And God doesn't stop you. God doesn't stop anything. Where are you, God? See, where are you? I'm right here. But you need to understand the marvelousness. I am keeping back because of unbelief and because they rejected and don't believe. The only sign I'm going to show to them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. Yeah, that's all I'm going to show them. I'm going to take an empty cross and an empty tomb and take an empty heart and fill that heart with my marvelous presence. And God, in a vessel of dust, dust, dust. Ah, that's all I'm going to show. But the believing heart needs to understand what's going on so that we show the relationship that God saved. We love the brethren. We love them. Why? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Otherwise, they don't know. The only evidence is that God is able to show himself in you. The inflow must outflow, or else no flow. It has to happen. But you don't do it, then there isn't any evidence. We go to church and go to church for 25 years, and we never learn anything. We never see anything. It's a glorious thing to be saved. It's an awesome thing. That's why we're supposed to what? Trust God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might. Hang on. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind if I can, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So, over if you would please, over to 1 Corinthians. Oh, well, for time's sake, over to 1 Corinthians. God is love. God's going to help us in every way. So now, this relationship that we have to God is a most holy, healthy relationship. And we're to have a healthy, holy, happy fear of God. So that what? God, like we said in 1 John chapter 4, we read it, verse 4, greater is he that is what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater. Greater. That's the only thing I'm going to show you. The world looks there, and you're just a little or nothing. Ah, that's all we are. We're nothing. But, wow, you house. You are the temple. You are the home. You are the house. You are the dwelling place. You are the body. You are the building. All of those words line up that you're God's. You're nothing. No, I agree. But all of a sudden, that's the whole point. God's taking vessels of dust and showing his glory. That's the marvel of this. You know, think, you don't need to go back to Ezekiel 28, Lucifer, son of the morning. Do you know he was beautiful. God made him. He had to be so beautiful. With diamonds, he uses jewels and all kinds of English words for us, human words, to help us understand. Lucifer was brilliant. The other angels aren't brilliant. He is. God did that for him to show his marvelous person. And Lucifer, son of the morning, stupidly thought it was he thought he was pretty good. You know, everyone's looking at him and thinking he's great. And so therefore, Lucifer, you lost your job. He lost his job. Yeah, I did. You should have never done it. His beauty, his marvelous, marvelous beauty. But we aren't beautiful. We're going to be beautiful. We're going to have a body like who? Like his. That's what we're going to do. What for? So that Christ the head, the church, the believers, the whosoever's the body, can do what? Show forever, Ephesians chapter 2. So show forever his marvelous person in a marvelous way. So when you look, when you see the head, there's Christ. When you see the hand, you see Christ. When you see the foot, you see Christ. When you see any believer in the body, you see Christ. God's doing a wonderful thing And it's an awesome thing. And I'm afraid, as we go, it's totally missed. That's why jumping to, I got too many things going. I hope we get a little bit. One of the things, do you know, it says, God says, you got to love me. God says, keep my commandments. And then we share it all together, all of that. So you see it. The commandments have to do with a unique relationship to God. And that relationship to God is translated, the Ten Commandments, et cetera, and all the way down, Exodus 20, all that. So you have to have the Ten Commandments. You do. But you can't keep the Ten Commandments. No. What's the Ten Commandments for? To keep you in bondage, to jail you, to like a teacher locking you in so you have to learn something. What am I learning? That you can't keep the law, you can't do it in your old nature. God in Christ, especially in you, can do it and keep you in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So that over therefore, you're going to do what? Turn over there with me for a minute. Over to Deuteronomy. I'm sorry I lost you, but I have to get used to this. Get the idea. Yeah, it's awesome. How do we keep the Ten Commandments? You don't. You don't. You never asked us to be able to do that. No, you never did. So therefore, what did you ask? We're to love the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God. Lord, our God is one Lord. The three is one. The one is three. Verse 5. 6, 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. What do you want of us? To love God with all your heart. And if, why do you love God with all your heart? Because he's God. He's God. We have no idea, us humans. Idolatry has all of its idols, and Islam and everything. And you can bow down to Mecca and Medina and whatever, and you bow down and you bow down by the thousands. And we worship. When's the last time you saw Christians worshiping? Whatever they call worship. We're sort of casual. Christians. When's the last time you saw them? When's the last time you saw people devoted like to idols they are? To idols. And I can't give you the, I'll give you the background to that way back to Genesis 11. Genesis 6, what do we know? They knew God. There is no religion, there are no politics. And for 120 years, there's just quietness. And Enoch gets saved, Noah gets saved, that's how they get saved. And if you looked at earth, and all those people are out there, wow, and there's God. But they aren't paying attention to them because they don't need to. Why? Because God's looking to save them. God isn't looking to judge them yet, to save them. And there they are. So when we come after the judgment, the Genesis flood, you have Genesis 11, the tower and city of Babel. And what did us humans learn? Boy, we can't do this again, so we better have somebody to honor. And we built the tower, and we have our religions. We have our politics. So God, we don't need you. That's what we've got, religion and politics. That's our idols. But for the believer, Noah built in an ark and got in the ark and got saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. He did that. Now in the process, that where's the world? The world has no sense of God. I don't. Do you understand? Romans, Revelation 4:11 and 5:13, etc. What do we know about worship and God? And every knee shall bow in heaven and earth, and all the world and the angels and all bend head and heart and worship God. When's the last time you saw that in churches? When's the last time you saw that? We don't have a sense of that. That's what I'm trying to help you understand. We don't have a sense of it. And it's lousing us up because we got a God who isn't God. We got a God that shrunk down to this in our little head and heart. We've shrunk God down to this, like in Jeremiah. And he's not very much in your heart, very much. When he's everything in your heart, God, who created the heavens and the earth, who can't be measured. If I was able to, I would put a plague on you and I would make you what? I want you to be so caught up with learn, get your learning from me. I'd want you to learn about how awesome it is to be saved by God. That you're really, really, really saved to worship. Oh, I don't see it. No, because we don't have to. We don't have to. No one has to do that. You get a job, I get a job, I preach, do whatever, and we read the Bible, and we come and go. We're Christians. Christians are getting clobbered. Biblical Christians are getting clobbered, not regular Christians. In fact, I get sidetracked. You're getting the idea. I'm trying to help you understand. The Apostle John is writing as the last living apostle to try to help us understand. You are able to be my, Acts 1:8, you're able to be my witnesses. The word my, generative and dative, you don't care about that. You're my personal witnesses. You're mine. You belong to me. You're mine. And the only thing I'm going to show New York City and your little household is you. I'm going to show you a vessel of dust. All of that, we've said it, you know it. In closing, you got it. Sum it up, it's easy. Over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and in chapter 4. We didn't get very far, I'm sorry, but I hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to tell you why the thing is so lousy out here across the country and the world. We're just not connecting. We are connecting. Just not connecting. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If I can, verse 5. What did we just do today together? That's why we're sitting together, to help each other. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For, reason, God hath commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts. In the dark hearts we got light. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, to have a unique relationship. And God, did you put us in a super-duper body? No. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels of clay and dust. What for? That the excellency over and above and beyond the power may be of God and not of us. Of God and not of us. God. So it's God. But I got to have a sense of it. I got to have a sense of that. You got problems. We all have to live through easy things, hard things, and everything we have to do. And we have to do all of that. And in the process of doing that, we have to go through it. And we have God to get us through it. And we need to be trusting God. Trusting G-O-D, God. The body belongs to you, God. You bought it with a price. My God, I want to see it. It isn't in the physical things. It isn't in our problems or in this society, world in which we live. No, God, we have a unique relationship to you to show that relationship to the world. As we eat and drink and take our medicine and do what we have to do. That's what our job is. And you're awesome. Be awesome. I am in you. And I'm going to say, you're going to do what? You're going to take the ordinary life of the ordinary person that you're going to live in an extraordinary way. So whether you eat or drink, you do it to the what? To the glory of God. Yeah. Some of the simple thing, yeah. Well, I couldn't do something great. No. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to show. That's all I want to do. The rest of the dumb thing is, it's all missing the boat. No offense to anybody. It just misses the boat. God help us. Anyway, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your care. I wouldn't even be alive if you didn't pray. What could I tell you? God knows. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your grace. Thank you very much for loving us. God, we just stumble along here, but God, we just, Spirit of God, yeah, I love God, we take care of it for us. Take care of it. Help us every way, God. We're going to thank you and thank you and thank you and thank you and thank you. What can we say? Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.